This is the Johnny Londoff Chevrolet Line Change. Now, back to Eric Messersmith, TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, Hannah Yates, and Matt Whitener on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
We're broadcasting tonight from the Kirkwood Brewhouse at 10314 Manchester Road here in Kirkwood. And we go now to the Ryan Kelly phone lines. And with us now is a former Rams coach and the architect of the greatest show on turf, Mike Martz. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys? Thanks for having me, by the way.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. And I'm sure you saw the 15 Hall of Fame finalists, including a couple of guys you coached, Kurt Warner and Isaac Bruce. Let's start with Kurt. It seems like the momentum has built, especially with Brett Favre going in last year and the fact that Kurt's the only quarterback in the final 15. This seems like it's going to be his year.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain it will be. It should be kind of a shoe-in. I think he deserved, obviously, he didn't last year. But there's no question, you know, three Super Bowls, the two teams that he was on that lost the Super Bowl, they lost in the foul play of the game. Two MVPs, MVP of the Super Bowl. I mean, I don't know what else you got to do to get in.
Now let's talk about Isaac Bruce, because I think it might be a little bit of a steeper hill to climb for him, at least this year. I know you had some comments before about Terrell Owens, who also is among the final 15, sort of comparing him to Bruce. When you sort of line those two up against each other in their careers, what do you think the differences and similarities are?
Well, I think, you know, Isaac was the reason why we won games in a championship. You know, he made those, obviously, look at the Super Bowl. You know, without that catch in the fourth quarter, 2 minutes to go in the game, we don't win that game. There's just so many situations like that throughout his career where he made the difference. I don't know that that was ever T.O.'s situation. And I'm not saying T.O. doesn't belong to get in. That's not what I meant. What I meant was, how do you put him in before you put an Isaac Bruce in, you know? And that was the only bone of contention I had with the whole deal.
What do you make of the case for Torrey Holt now? Obviously, he wasn't in the top 15, but he's going to have a Hall of Fame case himself. There's been somewhat of a log jam at wide receiver for a few years here. You think eventually he'll be on that ballot and he'll make his way in?
Well, he has to. I mean, you know, in the first 10 years of his career, he had the best numbers, the most productive receiver in the history of the game, more than Jerry Rice, more than anybody. How does that not count? You know, how does the six straight 1,300-yard seasons not count? Nobody's ever done it. Nobody probably will ever do that again. I mean, who knows? I mean, he's done some spectacular things that people just seem to look the other way on.
Well, like you said, I think he got overshadowed somewhat because Isaac Bruce was so good. But I think eventually there will be five foregone conclusions from the greatest show on turf. We're going to have Isaac, Torrey, Kurt, Orlando Pace, and Marshall Faulk. Is there anybody on that defense that we might be missing that might make their way in?
Well, I don't know if they'll make it in, but London Fletcher certainly was a heart and soul of that defense, and probably of the football team, there's probably three or four of those guys that without, you know, just their personalities and their intensity. And, you know, London Fletcher, I'll match his numbers with any linebacker that's ever played the game. Go back and look at his tackles, and I think he set an NFL record for tackles in 2001. And I know they don't, you know, they question the amount of tackles, and it's hard to grade this, that, and the other thing. But, you know, he was so productive for so long. And, I'd like to see him get in.
We're talking with Mike Martz, the former Rams coach, here on the Johnny Londoff Line Change, 590 The Fan, InsideSTL.com. Let's talk about another guy who made the finalist list, a former coach here in St. Louis for the football Cardinals, Don Coryell. What was his legacy in terms of innovations? Because he coached so long ago, and of course he's passed away, but he's a finalist again, and I think maybe especially younger fans don't know the kind of impact that he had.
But they played a different kind of football when he was with the Chargers and of course with the Cardinals as well. And at San Diego State, you know, I was a kid who was at San Diego State. I wanted to go play for him, and I wasn't good enough. But, you know, they used to, and this happened, they used to, in the second half, they'd have a running clock because it'd be 48-0 or, you know, teams that he played. The way he played the game, the passing game, was way ahead of everybody else. And it took years for people to catch up and realize, you know, how brilliant he really was and how courageous he was in doing the things that he did. And I think that he's changed the game forever. How do you not let somebody like that into the Hall of Fame?
Mike, I want to ask you about this weekend's playoffs. And you've been, I mean, you coached a team in 2001 that went 14-2. That's what the Patriots did this year. How hard is it to go and be the team to beat, and certainly you guys were that year, go into a bye week and then continue on? Because I was looking at the stats over the years. There's been just as many number one seeds lose in the Super Bowl as there have been win the Super Bowl, and that's a pretty difficult thing.
All bets are off in the postseason. You know, it's nobody's record. Nothing that you did during the season matters or counts. Who cares? And that's how those guys play the game. That's how they approach it. It's a whole new season. And what we used to talk to players about is just get in. Once you're in, even if you are an 8-8 team, you know, once you're in and you start winning, you can win the whole doggone thing. And there's a certain amount of enthusiasm and excitement about that with a team that just barely gets in, whether it's Miami or, you know, Pittsburgh or any of those teams. And there's a momentum and an excitement that maybe that number one seed's ridden all year long, but all of a sudden there's this extra juice into that locker room for these guys emotionally. And it can be very dangerous, and that's why I think it's the way it is.
Mike, a lot's been made this week about the off-day activities of the New York Giants and whether it's a big deal or whether people should really care about it or not. If those are your guys, what do you say?
Well, we tried to give our guys off. You know, I don't know all the particulars of it. I guess some of the guys took off after the last game. Is that right at the site?
Yeah.
I didn't really read a whole lot on it, but I think it's important.
And they were back for practice Tuesday.
Yeah, but I think after that game, I think it's important for everybody to come back with a plan. I just do. I would disagree. And I mean, it's how do you make exceptions for people on a team? You know, I think everybody wants to be treated the same way. Then everybody's got to be afforded that opportunity. I don't like it, to be honest with you. I think it's just kind of wrong. I understand getting away. And I think that's healthy. It's been a long season. Get away, heal up, and, you know, get your mind on something else for a while and then come back, refresh, ready to go. But I think there's a different way to do it that's probably better.
Hey, Mike, we all saw that tantrum that Richard Sherman threw at the end of the game a couple weeks ago at Pete Carroll. And now he's boycotting all the media in Seattle. How would you have handled that, being ridiculed and yelled at on the sidelines, and then all of a sudden taking all the attention to yourself when you have important games coming up and making this plea to the media that you're not going to talk to them anymore? What do you think of this whole scenario?
Well, I'm sure Pete's called them in and they've had a visit. This all of a sudden has become all about Richard Sherman. That's just wrong no matter how you look at it. I think those actions are reprehensible. I'm not worried about how it affects Pete. I'm worried about how it affects that football team and the disrespect of the coaching staff and the game itself and the players to step out from everybody else and take on this role that you have an idea of things that's better than everybody else, and you know you don't have to be under control, and you're the exception to the team. That's just bad for the team. I think that he probably won't be there long.
Do you expect one of their captains? I mean, who's the leader of that team? Don't you think Wilson or one of the veterans on that team needs to step up and tell Sherman, hey, enough's enough. It's not about you. It's about this team and this club moving forward. Stop with this. Don't you think some leader should step up and do this?
Well, I don't think there's any question that's going to happen one way or the other. And how it's received and how I mean, you don't get that far without having a strong locker room. And I'm sure there'll be a number of guys that will have a visit with him about what's going on and his actions. But, I mean, you know, usually leadership in the locker room will really nip that in the bud before it even gets going. But he's a pretty different individual. It's really hard. If he continues like that, I just play without him, to be honest with you.
Whoa. Former Rams coach Mike Mars joining us here on the Johnny Lundoff line change. we saw Gary Kubiak the other day step down for health reasons, and there's been other coaches that have had health problems. And obviously when you were with the Rams, you had your own health issue. Take us into that world. What is it like to be an NFL head coach? What kind of demands does that put on you physically that can impact your health?
You know, you get run down so bad. I'd had a very, very lengthy and complicated back surgery in March of that year. And they said, take a month off. Obviously, you're not going to do that. You know, I got back in 10 days and went back to work. Didn't think a lot of it, but didn't realize that, you know, with the demands of the job, you just try to continue to keep that pace, and I couldn't keep up with it. And if you have any kind of a health glitch, whatever it is, it gets magnified just because of the demands of your time and the stress of the job, et cetera. So, I mean, the hours anymore are the same in the off season as they are during the season. So it just, there's no reprieve. At least there wasn't. That's kind of how I looked at it. And then you have a distorted view of reality. You know, you if you leave the building, it's all going to cave in. So you got to stick around, that kind of thing. So it just, you get into a place where if you're not careful, it can be very unhealthy. You just got to take it with a little salt there, that you got to watch your perspective and make sure that you don't get carried away with it, because it will affect your health.
I remember reading a story with John Harbaugh where he was sleeping at the office pretty much the entire week, and he was going through his day. Are we talking like 70, 80-hour weeks during the season?
Well, I know. I don't know how what everybody else did. I know during the season, I was up at 4:30. Was in the office at least by 5. And I know if I left early, it would have been 10 o'clock that night. I had a glass of wine with my wife, went to bed, and repeated it again. So, I mean, that's through the – now on Friday night was a short night. So we'd go out to dinner. So, but, you know, there's probably 4 or 5 nights during the week that you're there that long. And, I mean, it's just what you do.
Coach,
I told Julie, several times I tried to stay in the office, and I slept in the office. And I came home, and she's, okay, we're not doing that anymore. I said,
that's
yes,
the real
dear.
Boss right there. Yeah, I bet it stopped
yes,
then. We know the feeling.
Coach, this is one of the few years that there's not a runaway MVP, and it seems like there's probably 4 to 5 guys that can make a solid case, and nobody would be surprised if they got it. My theory has always been that I think it should be a quarterback because the running back just doesn't have the same type of effect on the game as a guy who has the ball in his hands every play. Who would you choose this year as your MVP after watching what Rodgers has done the back half of the season, what Matt Ryan's done the whole year, Tom Brady in his 12 games, and some of the other guys?
I think because Tom's been so good for so long, people kind of take it for granted. I'm sure he's deserving of it. I would kind of like to see Carr get it because of what he did to that franchise or that organization. I think without him, they're probably not even in the playoffs, to be honest with you. So I think of all the guy that had the most impact on this team this year was probably Carr.
Coach, I took a look back at the 1999 Rams real quick to take you way back down the road here. You just had one of the ultimate weapons in football history in Marshall Faulk, really at the top of his game. And in 99, he had over 1,300 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving out of the backfield. Is there a guy you look at in the game right now that you think you'd be able to use in that same type of manner, or is he just one-of-a-kind type of back?
Well, nobody can duplicate Marshall. I mean, Marshall isn't just a once in a lifetime. I don't know if anybody will ever be like that again. He just was so unusual. But to do the similar type of things and be productive, Matt Forte did that for us at Chicago, and I was really pleased with him. I don't think Chicago ever fully appreciated how good he was. You know, when he got injured my last year there, we had played 10 games. He was 50% of the offense. He'd rushed for just under 1,000 yards after 10 games, and I think he had 50 catches by then. So, you know, I think he was probably in that role a little bit in terms of being able to, you know, put it on his back, but there's not many guys in the league like that at that position.
We're talking with Mike Martz, the architect of the greatest show on turf here on the Johnny Londoff Line Change. You'd mentioned Derek Carr. Of course, he's out for the year, and then McGloin gets hurt, and now the Raiders are down to Connor Cook. who will make his first start of the season in the playoff game Saturday. How do you get a guy like that ready for a playoff game in 6 days?
Well, you know, it's not so much – you got to be careful that you over-caution him. You know, you can't – you're going to start telling him, well, don't do this and don't do that and watch out for this and watch out for that because you're nervous as heck as a coach, you know. So you just – you look at what he can do really well and you just groove it and you go play. And you're going to have to change some of the things that you do offensively, but that's okay. You're going to have to take it in the direction that he can really function with it. You know, you're going to have to put a lot more emphasis on running the football and playing better defense. They're not very good on defense. And I think that's probably a bigger red flag, I think, than even the quarterback position.
Is there a team this weekend that is playing that you think is a likely or a decent shot to make the Super Bowl?
I've always felt like, and I don't know what happened to their season. I've studied about four games of theirs, but I always felt like Atlanta was a real solid Super Bowl team. And, you know, I know that they had some ups and downs. I watched San Diego beat them, which I thought San Diego played as good as they could. But I think there's just so much there. They're such an even team. They just, you know, they play great defense. They run the ball. They throw the ball. You know, you've got to double the receiver for crying out loud. Otherwise, he's going to kill you. I just think they're a very dangerous team when they got everything together.
Coach, one more question for you, and then we'll let you go here. You spent a long time coaching. I mean, all the way back, you spent some time in college at Minnesota and Arizona State, obviously made your way through the NFL all the way up to head coach, but you've been out since 2011. Is there a chance with all these coaching openings that you throw your hat in the ring anywhere?
You know, I think to answer that question, it would be, first of all, somebody's got to want to have you. And my phone isn't ringing off the hook. So, you know, somebody's got to be excited about you doing it. Then you worry about, you know, what you want to do with it. The desire to coach and the thrill and the love of the game and the passion that you have never, ever wanes or subsides. You know, you have to, you know, look at the organization or the opportunity and, you know, it really comes down to whether you can win or not. I don't care about the money and some of those other things anymore. It's just, you want to be in an organization where they're doing everything they can to win, and that's what it's about.
When you had that back injury, we talked about that earlier, and obviously things didn't go as well. Do you ever have any bitterness towards the way it ended in St. Louis, given all the success that you achieved?
No, you know, I don't. I really don't. I had some issues with some guys in the front office that I'm sure I didn't handle very well. And ultimately, that was probably my undoing. No, that's part of the business. That's part of the game. I get that. I understand that. And I think coaches at certain organizations do have a shelf life. I felt like they had enough of Mike Martz and were ready to move on probably a year or two before that. And that's okay. I was stubborn and fought it and was trying to hang on to it because I loved it there. But looking back at it, I understand it. I accept it. You know, it just kind of is what it is, and what are you going to do about it? But think about all the good things that happened while you're there.
Absolutely. And now you're doing some analyst work for Fox Sports, right?
I was. I'm not doing that anymore. I think that there are guys that do a lot better job than I do that stuff. And I wasn't very good at it and got to the point where all the traveling and everything, you might as well go back into coaching, you know.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for the time and the honesty, and you're always a great interview. We appreciate it so much, Mike.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, guys, for having me. Happy New Year, huh?
Thanks, Coach.
Mike Martz, former coach and offensive coordinator of the Rams. How about that for honesty? Talking about, I wasn't very good at it. Talking about the
could have handled the front office
better. Could have handled it better.
And
the Richard
Sherman. He is old school, and
gosh,
I love it.
What a quote on that. Oh, I'd just as soon play without him if he's going to be back.
Yes, I love
like
that. Right? Put your foot down. Squash that crap, because that's all it is crap. Me. I'm not getting attention. Now I'm going to throw this at everybody. I need attention. That's all that is. It's sickening. Oh, my gosh. I love that old school thought process, man. I won't play his ass. I don't care.
And you know, you get a lot. You know, we all talk to former coaches, former athletes, current coaches, current athletes, and very rarely do you get that level of candor about their own situations and maybe the shortcomings they have.
Well, usually when they retire, they'll bring it out a little more, but I love hearing that.
Bobby Bowden sure does.
Who does?
You guys look Bobby Bowden.
Oh, yeah.
He'll let it rip. He got in hot water the other day for
saying. Yeah, I think it just depends on the personality.
Yeah. The old school guys are usually that you're just not going to teach them. And you shouldn't have to.
No.
You know, that was their generation. You don't judge them based on today's standards. No different than.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Just like when you go throughout history, look exactly. No doubt about it.
And that's how they dealt with things.
I love the fact that he just pointed out how much of an anomaly Marshall Faulk is.
Yeah.
That was the answer I was fishing for.
Yeah.
There ain't enough.
You know, I figured where he would go with that. And he didn't was well. There's a guy, the closest guy to him is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer this year, and that was LaDainian Tomlinson. That was the closest guy to Marshall.
And they were kind of contemporaries, though. I was more or less thinking if there was anybody today that you could.
I think Le'Veon's the closest thing.
And you know what? And honestly, I would say in a different mold, David Johnson. He has the ability to go out and catch the ball in ways that even Le'Veon doesn't quite.
What do you think about what he said about Derek Carr?
I loved it.
We talked
too,
about
man.
That.
We were talking about that as well.
I think that over the next couple of years, Derek Carr or Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston are going to be guys that are in that MVP hunt as some of these guys age out.
I was really worried about the mass exodus of legendary quarterbacks that we're going to have in the next few years. Peyton is already out. Drew Brees is on his way out. Phillip Rivers is on his way out. You know, like you have these guys.
TJ's not ready to accept the fact.
Brady's probably got another. Honestly, Brady's never played better. If he wants to play another five, he's got it.
He probably has.
You know, so. But, man, I didn't know who it was going to be. Mariota is the best red zone quarterback that we've seen maybe ever. And that the one reason is, like, obviously he's got great accuracy and stuff. He's not great at reading defenses. So inside the 20, you don't read a defense. That's why he's so good. But you still have to go out there and execute. Jameis Winston obviously has been very good. Cam Newton, if he makes his way back, is still in that younger generation. I think this is his fifth or sixth year in the league.
He's my red zone choice just because it's – I mean, think about what he got him in trouble this year is guys can't hit him.
Yep.
5 yards in, good luck with that, huh?
Dak.
Yeah, you know, Dak, we don't know. Dak is going to be a wait and see a little bit if he can do it again.
And who knows what's going to happen
but
with
the big one's Derek Carr.
Who knows what's going to happen with their backups, too? What if they come out and dominate a game and the first pass, they just launch it down the field and they get a 90-yard touchdown? Don't you think that would be a good game plan?
Oakland?
Right off the bat. Oakland or whoever just drops back and throws a bomb just to let everybody know.
Real quick on your list, TJ, you forgot Jared Goff again. You seem to always forget him.
You know,
so rude. It's rude. Honestly.
I just thought I didn't even have to name him. Foregone conclusion, everybody knew.
Everyone
the top
knew.
Of your guys' list, so I'll just start at number two.
We should have asked about him,
top
too.
Of the draft, top
we
of the league,
we should have asked
baby.
About him. Yeah, we should have.
Goff.
Yeah.
But overall, I think the consensus now, having watched a little bit, is that the NFL is in very good hands because without great quarterback play, the league is garbage. I mean, people will still watch, but if you're watching Andy Dalton versus Alex Smith, you're not having any fun. You need to be watching Tom Brady versus Marcus Mariota or Derek Carr or some of these guys that are going to be stars that can really light you up. I mean, you know, even through college, you look at the guys that play, and some of those games are good, but then turn on Penn State versus USC. Now you're watching something.
Right. It's the Johnny Londoff Line Change. Breaking news, Derek Gould, our colleague here, and, of course, the Cardinals beat writer for the Post-Dispatch, reporting that Matt Carpenter and Alex Reyes have both agreed to play in the World Baseball Classic. And that's
big.
Is that? What's in?
It's in March. It's coming up. Yeah, that's a big get for Team USA getting Matt Carpenter involved.
I got a question about that.
Yes, sir.
Sungwon Oh, can he not play for Korea?
It's up to them if they want him.
What did he do?
Before he came over last year, he had some gambling allegations that he was tied up in.
Really?
And he got that. Yeah.
North Korea's tough, man.
Yeah. Well,
I'm joking.
Well,
yeah, you do not want to run afoul there.
Don't close your bloodline off over there.
There's our
God Almighty.
I was waiting for it. Astute Cam Jansen take of the day, and we just got it right there.
We got it.
Kim Jong Un.
That along with 2 inches of annoying, and we're off to a good start here.
Wow. And with that,
it's just a short description.
Is that what they
Eric?
Say to you? Is that what the girl say to you?
Hey, big thing though.
Two inches of annoying.
Big thing. That's not what they said. big grab there though. Getting Carpenter on that Team USA team. They're going for it. They're going for it this year. Yeah. It's exciting to see it.
Hey guys,
just don't get hurt.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, come on.
Don't let Alex Reyes get hurt.
Please.
Innings limit for him, please, in the World Baseball Classic. Hey guys, tomorrow the KFNS and InsideSTL.com listener awards program begins with a $50 gift certificate to Friendly South County. You get the best fried chicken there in town. You get that gift certificate for just $25. Log on to InsideSTL.com starting this Friday, tomorrow, 9 a.m. Just click Listener Rewards on the InsideSTL.com homepage. That's $50 to Friendly South County for just $10.25 starting tomorrow at 9 a.m. It's the Johnny Londoff Line Change live from the Kirkwood Brewhouse at 10314 Manchester Road in Kirkwood. We're here till 7. Come on out and see us, 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and inside STL.com.